Thank you for being here. I appreciate it. I can't think of the last time where I had a message more heavy on my heart or a thought or whatever you want to call it than what I've got tonight. It's had me tore up for several days, and many times I'll make notes as I study and meditate. I'll make notes and it seems like I just part from my notes somewhere, but I'm going to try to stick to it as much as the Lord wants me to, and try to get through this. My brother Church has got the flu, so he won't be able to be with us tonight. Zach, if you will, pray for us and pray for Brother Church.
Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for letting us be here again. God, to hear from the precious Word of God. Lord, we thank you, God, for each person that's here. Lord, I thank you for each person, Lord, and I pray today, God, that you'd meet with us this night. God, I pray that you'd touch your preacher tonight, loose his tongue, illuminate his mind, give him the words to say. God, I pray that our hearts would be willing to hear from what God has to say to us tonight. Lord, I pray tonight, dear Lord, that you touch Brother Church. God, that you touch his body tonight. Lord, that you have your way in his life, Lord. God, I pray today, dear Lord, that you touch his family and his children. Lord, I pray today, dear God, for those that are lost inside this building, that know not the God of this Bible, Lord, I pray. God, by the power of the Holy Ghost, Lord, that you'd open their eyes. God, let them see Jesus for who he is. Lord, let them see their sin for what it is, how they stand before a holy and a righteous God. Lord, I pray for those that are saved, Lord. God, that you'd help us to take the responsibility and the burden upon ourselves, Lord, for our neighbors and our brothers and sisters and our family and our friends that are lost without God, that'll spend eternity separated from God, spend eternity in hell. God, I pray, God, that your word would be more real to us, and I pray, God, that you forgive us, Lord, of being so dead and so carnal so many times and so much, Lord, but I pray, God, that you'd help us tonight. Help me tonight. Help my home. God, I pray that you'd help this church. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Matthew 22, verse 1. The Bible says, "And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables, and said, The kingdom of heaven is likened to a certain king which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, Tell them which are bidden, Behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm, and another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants, and entreated them spitefully, and slew them." With great heaviness, many times, I have considered, what is the matter that so many should perish when God has done so much for their salvation? Why so many people without salvation when the God of all creation did so much for our salvation? I have to confess that I think this text is the answer. I've questioned preachers, I've questioned the Lord, I've questioned myself, I've examined this book trying to find, why is it that these people won't be saved? Why is it that people pretend to want to be saved, but yet maybe even say they want to be saved, but yet they're not saved? And I think this text is the answer. It's amazing that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And he made his Son, made salvation sufficient for all. Yeah. Then he offers the benefits of his death on the cross free to all. Without money, without price, and yet sinners still perish. Why is it that a man hears the word of God and is convicted by the Holy Ghost, drawn by the Father, and lives and dies without Christ? Why is that? I think the text answers the question. The Bible says in verse 5, it says, but they made light of it. I think the number one sin in the heart of the sinner that has heard the truth, that knows the truth, that has repeatedly heard the truth, and still is not saved is simply because you have made light of Christ and salvation. It's simply because man takes God lightly. Mm-hmm. We don't take God serious.
That's right.
We don't put any value on His Word.
That's right.
We don't put any value on the drawing power. We put no value on the working of the Holy Ghost. We put no value on the preaching of God's Word. We take it very light. Otherwise, I'm thoroughly convinced, and nobody ever tell me otherwise, that man would be saved if we took it as we ought. Now, you've heard me mention David Brainerd several times, and the one thing that I will say is that he took it heavy. He took it with value. And he did not let up, praise God, until God saved him. Amen. Amen. That man was a lost man and would fast, push away from the table and go pray, and just, man, pursue God. You say, what's the difference between today's men and those men? They took God serious.
Right.
They didn't take Him light. God has shown and proven time and time again that He's willing to save and restore anyone. But yet man is the unwilling party. The reason people are not saved is because they're not willing to be saved. If a man has heard the gospel of Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost has pricked him in his heart and the Father has drawn him, and you're here today because the Father has drawn you, that's the only reason you're in church tonight, is because God drew you here. Right. God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they would return to Him. And I say return because at one time man was in fellowship with God, until sin came along the Garden of Eden. Here's the problem. Men take such pleasure in sin that they will die before they return to the Lord. Can anybody prove that wrong? People take such pleasure in sin that they're willing to die in their sin rather than turning to the Lord.
Right.
You say why? Because they love their sin. Jesus is content to be the great physician. In saying so, he has prepared a blood that would heal every sin-sick soul that will take Him serious. His blood will cure the sin-sick soul. But man has taken light of it and not applied it. It's not God. It's the sinner. He's not taking it serious. He's taking God very light. He's taking the blood very light of that physician, and he's not applied it to his life. I make the statement many times that being saved is much easier than most things that we do. If you look at how man spends his time, how man spends his care, and the efforts of all of their vanities, while God is cast aside. I mean, God gets a little bit of attention on Sunday and Wednesday, but all through the week, all through the day, hour after hour, God is cast aside.
Right.
What I'm saying is we've traded everything for nothing. Everything that you're wrapped up in outside of God equals nothing. And you've traded God for that. You've traded everything for absolutely nothing. Think of this. God has set everybody on a race. Everybody that's in this building. Everybody that's born. God has set you on a race. What are you racing towards? Everybody in this building, whether you know it or believe it or not, everybody in this building is in a race. God put you in the race. He told the saints of God, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. He didn't tell the sinner that. That sinner needs to run hastily. As the songwriter said, I will hasten to him. But on that racetrack, ladies and gentlemen, at the end of the race, listen, awaits heaven or hell. That's life. You're going to either go the straight and the narrow way, and you'll end up, at the end of your race, you'll end up in heaven. Or you can take the broad way in this race, and you're going to end up in hell. But everybody in here is in that race. And one of these days, I know we don't believe it, but one of these days we're going to die. It's appointed unto man to die. That's one appointment. You can cancel the doctor. You can cancel the appointment with a salesman. You can cancel the car deal. But I tell you one thing you'll never cancel. You'll never cancel death, friend. Everybody in here is on a race to death. And at the end of death, everything that you've ever worked for ain't going to amount to a hill of beans outside of Jesus.
Right.
What you going to have at the finish line when you finish your race? When this life is over, what are you going to end up with? And yet, knowing this, man sits down, runs after childish things, chases the lust of the flesh and the toys of the world, and neglect the prize that they should run for. Am I okay? I open my eyes and I see this world is in a rat race for every carnal and ungodly thing that doesn't amount to a hill of beans under the sun. And Jesus Christ is so neglected and so pushed off and such an afterthought. Somewhere in the end of the day, maybe we can say some puny little bedside prayer and cloak ourselves for that self-righteousness once again.
That's right.
We're all on a racetrack to eternity, but many are taking the broad way to hell. See, the broad way will let you just run wild. Do your own thing. Jesus is on the back burner. I've got things to do. He said he called these people, but they made light of it.
Right.
But then the remnant took his servants and he really run them through the ringer and ultimately killed them. Can I tell you what people are running to? They're running to the remnant that's going to run them through the ringer and ultimately kill them and put them in hell. That's what people are running for. That's the race most people are on today. Why, preacher? Because they take light, the Lord Jesus Christ. They take it light. I don't know your heart. I'm not going to judge your heart. Only you and God can do that, and I trust that you will. But just a week out of the meeting that we had last week, and the service that we had Sunday and the service that we had Wednesday, Miss Stephanie's still heavy on my heart. I hadn't shook it off yet. I'm still basking in the services that we had. Amen. Even the Friday night service was a blessing. Man. I said, preacher, what are you saying? I just don't want to take light the things that God's done in here in just the last week.
Right.
Me and my wife are praying at night and we're still thanking God for what he did last week. Just don't want to take it light. Just think, if you had God's eyes to see how near eternity man is, and to see what most men are minding in the world and what they're doing every day, it would be the saddest sight that you could ever imagine. Try to see your life through the eyes of the Almighty. Try to see your life through the life, through the eyes of Jesus Christ who suffered and bled and died. I promise you, if we could see our life through God's eyes, it would devastate. It'd be the saddest sight we ever beheld. And yet we think we're doing pretty good. But if you look at it through the eyes of God, it's not very well. It's not good at all. What is it that you run after? What are you running after? I'm not telling you, I'm asking you. What do you run after? What is it that you neglect? You'd be better off if you never heard the truth if you're going to neglect it. You'd be much better off if you never seen a King James Bible and heard a Bible preacher if you're not going to mind it.
Right.
But he's told us the truth over and over again, even until many get weary of it. There's a lot of people that don't want to hear it again. There's a lot of people that says it's church time. It's the same old, here we go again. Isn't that amazing? You're talking about taking God light. I couldn't think of a much lighter attitude. Instead of getting in that vehicle going, oh dear God, maybe this will be the night that my heart sobers and I take sincere the blood of Jesus Christ. Many say they believe it, but they get upset when you take that Bible and show them their heart is contrary to their lips. Why do men not believe? Why are you sitting here tonight lost and on your way to hell? I can be honest with you and say I believe without a shadow of a doubt. Because you take God light.
Right.
You've not valued him enough. You've not put enough stock in him. That's why people are going to hell. There's no way that you can take God in a high. There's no way that he can be your highest value and you can still be lost. No way you can value God and still be lost. There's no way it's impossible to highly value God, Christ, salvation, and not have it. God's not like that. He doesn't do that to people. But we like to think he does. We like to think that he's dangling a carrot. We like to think that he's holding out on us. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. You're the one that's missing God. God ain't a missing you. I didn't come tonight to accuse any of you of this sin. And it is a sin. But seeing it is the most commonest cause among destruction of man. I think it's the most commonest cause that people take God light. I only ask that you judge for yourself. And do so as if it was the utmost importance. Act as if it's the most important choice you've ever made, because in reality it is. It's the most important judgment you'll ever make. Judge your own heart. Judge your own mind. Judge your own thoughts. Judge your own ways. Judge your own life and see for yourself. Be honest. Will you be honest with yourself? Will you be honest with yourself? I want you to consider this. It is the case of most sinners to think themselves freest from the sin that they're in bondage to. The sin that binds you the most is usually the sin that you feel as if you're the freest of. Man, God means everything to me. No, he doesn't. If he did, you'd probably be coming in here with swollen eyes and from, you know, praying and being sorrowful, and you'd be walking in the Spirit, fullness of the Spirit. You'd be saved, in tune with God.
That's right.
Full of the Holy Ghost. I need you to understand it's the nature of sin to blind and deceive the sinner. It's the nature of sin to make you think contrary to what you are. I'm not bound to that. That's the nature of that sin, to bind you and not let you even know that you're bound. That's what sin does. Sin will make you unacquainted with yourself. There's a lot of other people that can understand a sinner better than they can understand themselves, because sin has so messed them up. Sin will keep you from thinking right. It'll mess up your intentions. How many of you have heard that saying before? Hell is full of people with good intentions. What happened? Sin. Sin will mess your intentions up. Well, I intended to get saved. Sin got in the way. Sin will confuse you with love and hate. I love God. Sin's blinded you. If you love Him, you'll value Him. If you love Him, you'll highly esteem Him. And you cannot continue to be lost if you highly esteem Him. You just can't do it. God wants to save sinners. In fact, the only life a sinner has is sin. What else life do you have, sinner friend, other than sin? If it wasn't for sin, you'd be gone. You'd be done if it wasn't for sin. Well, I'm talking about the only life a sinner has is sin. You ain't got righteousness. You ain't got holiness. You ain't got peace with God. You ain't got joy. You don't know what love is. The only life you have is a life of sin. That's all the life you have. And you don't think that you're deceived and blind and bound? Sure you are.
Right.
You know what sinners live to? Sinners live to sin. That's what sinners live to. They live to it. That's all they have. That's all they have. That's all you have, sinner. That's all you have is sin. So what are you living to? You're living to sin. That means you're a sinner and you're dead to reason. Sinners can't reason. Why are you trying to reason this mess out? You can't even reason. Sin won't allow you to reason. It's deceived you. You don't think right. You can't reason it out. You can't reason with it. You can't reason that. You can't reason out your salvation. He didn't ask you to reason out your salvation. You're dead to consideration. You're dead to resolution, the resolution that would recover you. I don't want to be mean, but think about it. That means you're dumber than a box of rocks when it comes to getting saved. You don't know the first thing about it and don't know how to be. And yet, we're trying to work it out and figure it out and reason it out. And the only thing you know is sin. So everything that you probably do will probably be enhancing some of your sin. All you're going to probably do is build up some more self-righteous walls. That's what people do that hear the gospel. They don't get saved. They build walls. Every time they learn something from a preacher that they didn't know before, it's just another block on the wall. And I come with the intentions tonight of sneaking in the back door. I want to ask you some questions. And with these questions, I'll make some statements. You judge as impartially as God will. God's going to judge you impartially one day. And God will judge you partially day by day. Unpartially. So I'm asking you if you'll just do the same thing yourself. Judge yourself impartially. Judge yourself and see for yourself if you are a Christ and a salvation slighter. If you make light of Jesus Christ and salvation, you judge for yourself. things, number one, things that men highly value will be remembered. Things that you highly value will be remembered. These are the things that we so freely and gladly and spontaneously think on. That's right. Now I would say, let's judge ourselves. What do I think on? What is it that I like to remember? What is it that I recall in my mind? What is it that my mind runs to? What is it that I think of so often? Do not these people make light? Do not these people that make light of Jesus Christ and salvation that think of them so seldom or coldly in comparison to other things? That was a question. It wasn't a judgment. You know some of them things you thought of? Was salvation in Jesus Christ as exciting in your mind as that was? Now be honest. You know, Brother Zach, as a saved man, I can answer these questions and be honest with myself most of the time. And I bow my head in shame. Mm-hmm. How does Jesus Christ and salvation compare to the other thoughts of your mind? Let me give you a hint. Where are you standing with Jesus today? Where do you stand with Jesus Christ today? Where do you stand with salvation? That'll answer that question for you. That them other thoughts are much more pleasant. Follow up on yourself. Check up on yourself. Observe yourself. What your daily thoughts run after. Then ask yourself, based upon your own thoughts, whether or not you take Christ's light. If you were to ask me, I would answer you this. Are you saved and living for God? If not, then you take Him too light. It's all but impossible today to get a man to soberly consider what they should do for an interest in Christ or in thankfulness for His love, and yet they will not believe that they make light of Him. When's the last time you spent 1 hour, what I'm saying, 1 hour thanking Him for His love? You don't think you make light of Him? If you ain't got 1 hour to thank Him for His love, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. If you ain't got an hour to thank Him, you don't think a whole lot of Him. You take Him awful light.
That's right.
Next, I want to look at things we highly value will be the substance of our conversations. Things we highly value will be the substance of our conversations. Judgment and heart will control the tongue. Whatever you value, your speech will delight in and it will pursue. Whatever you value is what your mouth will run to talk about. Have we told anybody about Jesus Christ today? You know why? Because we take Him light. We don't put much value in Him. He'll do when we're in a jam. Other than that, let's put Him off in the corner somewhere. It's rare that I ever have anyone that talks to me about Jesus except, you know, the norm. this preacher, that preacher, this brother in the Lord. But do you know how many times my phone rings from church people that says, and man, they're excited about something of the Lord? I can count them on one hand and have about five fingers left over. You know why? Because people take light the gospel of Jesus Christ. But it's amazing that the phone calls that we do get and all the silliness and foolishness and meaningless things that we have to listen to and hear and talk about and see what excites people. Men are all excited about this. What about Jesus? When was the last time you got excited about Him and wanted to talk about Him? Most people would rather hear some idle talk or some tale. They like to talk of riches or business or some current event of this world. I couldn't care less about them. I really couldn't. I couldn't care less about them. Couldn't care less about the current events in this world. But I hear more about current events than I ever have Jesus Christ. You know why? Because people make light of Him. Current events have more esteem than Jesus. The President of the United States gets more esteem than the Lord Jesus Christ. I say we should judge whether these things make light of Christ and salvation. In the past 10 years, I've had very few conversations with those seriously seeking after Christ and salvation. I can think of one or two people that have been so serious about the Lord and have taken it so serious that they've actually called their pastor and said, "Pastor, please pray for me. I'm struggling. I'm lost, and I want to be saved." And you know what I mean? I could probably count it on one hand and have three fingers left over. You know why, Brother Zach? You know why we sit in church houses full of lost people and nobody cares enough to even call and say, "Please pray for me"? Because they make light of Jesus.
That's right.
If you didn't make light of Him, you couldn't handle it like that. It's too heavy. I've had a lot of talk, but that's all it's ever amounted to was talk. Most of the talk is a way to form a scapegoat in our minds anyway. I made the statement to one person in the last couple of weeks, and they took it and twisted it, and all they did was added a block to their wall. They used it in the wrong way. Why? Because they make light of Jesus. The next thing is the things that's highly valued are secured possessions. I'm just asking. I'm just making statements and asking questions. You be the judge. The things highly valued are secured possessions. When a man really wants something, he'll take any route to possess it. What won't you do to get what you want? I know one thing we'll do. We'll piss on God. If it's a position or a job or an income or just something petty, we'll piss on God. You know why? Because we take Him light. Here's what I said a while ago. You will not take Him light at the end of your race. I promise you unto God, we'll never take Him light at the end of the race. It will be so heavy. I know men that have fought and lied and hurt others to get what they wanted. I'm just saying, when you really want something, you won't take it so light in getting it. I've known men and women that have gone to great lengths to win the favor of the significant other. I told you a couple weeks ago about Red Kirby. He wanted Miss Kirby to be his wife. What did he do? He had to go in that bar and fight for her. When was the last time we went in a secret place and fought for our soul? You know why we don't? Because we make light of it. Right. As if it's going to be there forever and we can come back tomorrow if we need to. I've made the statement before, it's easier to woo a spouse. It's easier to get saved than it is to woo a spouse. And I've had people that don't like it. I've made that statement several times, and I've had people to run their mouth about it. I've had people get upset. I've had people that said things back. Do you see anything in that eyeball? Does it look like I give a flip if they like that or not? I'm telling you right now, it's easier to get saved than it is to win a woman. I don't care if people like it or not. It's the truth. Right. Some of them, they ran their mouth too. The only reason they're lost them on their way to hell is because they made light of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And they don't like what I say. What if you got a letter from the mortgage lender and they told you, they said, man, there's a problem. There's a mess up on the papers and we just caught it. Your mortgage is in danger. We're looking to foreclose. If you don't come up with $5,000, $6,000, $7,000 within the next month, we're going to take your home. Stop and think about that. I, for one, was one of them that got caught in the bubble. I was one that got the loans during the bubble. And they came after me and told me, if you don't give us $7,000, we're taking your home. I didn't have $7,000. I didn't have $1,000. But I got in there and got a hold of God, and God took care of it. But what if they come to you and told you, hey, listen, man, if you don't come up with this money, you're done. And there you got to take your wife and your kids and you're on the street now. What would you do to keep possession of that home? You'd do whatever you had to do. You don't want to see them kids sleeping and living out of a car. You don't want them out there living underneath a tent. You would go to about any measure you had to go. You would work overtime. You would work a double shift. You'd get a second job. Maybe your spouse would earn a little money. Everybody would pitch in. You'd do what you got to do to save that possession. Wonder what it would be if we'd go after Jesus Christ like that. I tell you why we ain't saved, because we make too light of it. You won't make it light if the mortgage lender calls you. You won't make it light if the bill collector calls. Bill collector's job is to tick you off. They're there to make you mad, because they know that if they make you mad, you won't just give them the $500, you'll shove $1,000 down their throat. That's all they want. That's their motive. That's why they're so rude. That's why they're so obnoxious. That's why they talk like they do, to make you mad. Because if you get mad, they believe they can get their money. But isn't it amazing what we'll go through to obtain things that mean something to us? What measure have you went through to obtain salvation in Christ? I bet you went through more to win that woman than you have to win to get Jesus Christ. I bet you went through more pains to win that man than you did to gain Jesus Christ. Otherwise, you'd have him. You did what you had to do to get that husband, to get that wife, to get those friends, to get those children. You did what you had to do to get that, because that's highly valued in the American life. The American dream is something of high value to us. But what about Jesus? Why you lost? You don't give a flip about God.
Right.
You care more about having a house than you do Jesus Christ. You care more about having a female or a male than you do Jesus Christ. Why do you think you've got it? Because you've esteemed it highly and you went after it. Why do you think you don't have the other? Because you've taken it lightly and not went after it. I don't buy it for a second. Sinners have not went after Jesus. Because he is looking to save, seeking to save that which is lost. you would go through great extents to secure your nest, and yet you're still lost, then doesn't your nest mean more to you than Jesus? I think I'm being rational. I think I'm being logical. Yeah, it does. Yes, it does. I've made the statement, I'd rather see my son live in a cardboard box and go to heaven than to live in a palace and go to hell. How many people is pursuing that dollar? I'd rather see them be a hobo on the street and know Jesus Christ than to die a rich man and go to hell.
Right.
Why is it, Brother Zach, that a man can get so hungry that he'll steal? You don't have to believe me, just get hungry. I promise you, there ain't a person in this building, you get hungry enough, you'll stab your brother in the back for the last slice of bread. He said, nah, preacher, you ain't never been that hungry. Solomon said, for a piece of bread, a man will do these transgressions. For a piece of bread. Wonder what a man would do for a piece of Jesus Christ. Isn't it amazing to say that we'll stoop so low that if we have to steal to feed our children, we'll steal to feed our children, and we'll justify it. We've done everything we could do, man, and we just ain't got the money to buy a can of beans, and we're just going to go down to the store and stick a pack in our pocket, a can in our pocket. And I'm telling you, friend, that's what we'll do to feed the family. Wonder what you're going to do to get your kids to God. What would you do to make sure your kids get to go to heaven? They see mom and dad make it light. They hear that there's no agonizing going on. They see us put on down at the house of God and go home and don't hear any weeping and wailing, any agonizing over their soul. You know why they're not agonizing? Because they're not serious. They're taking God too light. As if God will be right back to do it again tomorrow. That's not true, ladies and gentlemen. God will pass you like a doctor does a dead man. He's going to knock for the last time. He's going to speak for the last time. He's going to work for the last time. I don't like scare tactics. I really don't. But do you know the end of that race may not be when you're 85 years old. The end of that race may be a quarter mile down the road when that car meets you head on. I don't like taking them kind of chances, son. I never had like Russian roulette. Mm-hmm. But that's what people do with their souls. And the reason they're not doing anything about it is because it's light to them. And I'm preaching this, and I've never had anything any heavier on me, Brother Zach. Man, this thing has troubled me for a week. I tell you why a man would steal to feed his family and remain lost, because he thinks more about the God of his belly than he does the God of his salvation. I say to that, you'd be better off to starve and die and go on to hell than to eat another bite of food and hear another gospel message and reject it or take it light. I'd hate to die and go to hell from a church in America. Yeah. I really would. A King James Bible church. If I was going to hell, I'd rather go to hell from a bar stool. I just had. I told Zane, I said, man, most people live a life as a sinner. They don't enjoy alcohol. They don't enjoy strange women. They don't enjoy dope. They don't enjoy all. They get up, they go to work, they work, and they live clean, and they're going to die and go to hell. If I'm going to die and go to hell, son, I'm going to have a party till I get there, because it's over. Mm-hmm. That's just me. I'm not saying that's what you're dying. I'm just saying that's me. I'm not going to live in hell and die and go to hell. It's hell without Jesus. These people aren't happy. There's no peace. It's all temporary. Everything's just like a fad. It just comes and goes, man. Happy today and old tomorrow. If a man didn't take salvation so light, he couldn't bear not being saved. If a man did not take salvation, Jesus Christ, light, you couldn't bear being lost. There's no way.
That's right.
If we took it as we ought to take it, it's serious, and we valued it as if it ought to be valued, I'll promise you, we would do whatever we had to do to settle the doubts. We just would. If we could see this thing for what it really is, Brother Zach, we couldn't sit around and be lost. We'd get fixed. We'd steal that can of green beans if we had to. We'd get it fixed. But we don't see it as if it really is. We see it through our carnal, sinful eyes and don't see it through the holy eyes of God.
That's right.
If it were not taken so light, and I mean this, if it were not taken so light, you could not rest until you made it sure. Did you rest this week? I'm asking questions and I'm asking you to make the judgment. Did you rest this week? I'm just saying, if a man didn't take it light, he couldn't rest lost. Couldn't be lost and rest. Wouldn't find no contentment in this world. No, not if he took it like he ought to take it. Not if he valued it like he ought to value it. I'll promise you, it would trouble you. Every day, every night when you pillowed your head, it would keep you up at night tossing and turning if you took it and valued it as you ought to. But the reason we can find rest and pillow our heads is because we do not care. We don't care. We act like we do. But let me tell you what you're alive to. You're alive to that sin that's got you deceived. There was a time when men heard the gospel. See if y'all remember this. Man, there was a time in this world, Miss Debbie, where the men of God would stand up, and here's what people would say, Steve. What must I do to be saved? When was the last time you heard that? When was the last time you heard that? I'll tell you what they did. They valued what their men told them. Paul, on the way down to Damascus, and that bright light shined out of heaven. Paul hit his knees. Lord, what will thou have me to do? When was the last time you heard that? You know why? Because we take it light. Peter stood up and preached to them Jews. And those Jews that believed, he said, sirs, what must we do to be saved? When's the last time you heard somebody cry out, what must I do to be saved? You know why? Because we take it light. We don't care enough to cry out. We talk about the way things used to be. That's how things used to be. A sinner would come into the church and everybody knew that he was coming. So, I mean, he was nailed. I can remember watching him resist the Holy Ghost. I had a thought that just passed my mind. How come we're ever learning and never coming to salvation? How come we know more than any generation that has ever been? We're more knowledgeable. I didn't say we're smarter. Me and Michael's had conversations in the past, and I think those people back in the 17, 1800s was twice as smart as what we are. So much. I would be afraid to open my mouth in front of those men because their speech was so right and they were so intelligent. I would want to show my stupidity. Just sit down and shut up. I wonder widely heard reports, while we've heard reports of those men where thousands of people were getting saved, and yet we can't get one saved today. Once in a blue moon, a sinner can get in. People take it too light.
That's right.
People didn't take it as light back then. They didn't have Hollywood or hellish wood or whatever. They didn't have boob tubes. They didn't have all these fine automobiles. They didn't have government handouts. They just didn't have this. And they were a whole lot more sober-minded than what we are. The 12-year-olds was old enough to handle families back in them days. And yet we're so silly and frivolous. We can't even take God serious. He's a holy God. And I tell you, I believe this, Brother Zach. I believe if we could see this thing like God does, I believe these aisles would be flowing with tears.
Right.
I believe that. When's the last time you heard anybody say, "What must I do to be saved?" I've heard a million excuses. But I've never heard one reason. I'm telling you, the reason is we take him too light. We don't value it.
That's right.
You don't value Jesus Christ like you value your income. Because you've got that income working for you pretty doggone good. But salvation ain't working at all in your life. Wonder why. You spend 40 hours, 50 hours, 60 hours a week earning that income. How much time have you spent earning the favor of God? I'll tell you why. Because that money is highly esteemed more than Jesus Christ is in our life.
That's right.
Isn't it amazing? I'll try to hurry. Isn't it amazing that the things that are so valued today will end up meaning absolutely nothing? Hey, listen to me, pal. At the end of your race, your job will mean nothing. Your bank account will mean nothing. Your house will mean nothing. Your automobiles will mean nothing. Your women on the side will mean nothing. Your prestige, your popularity, your fame will mean absolutely nothing. It mean nothing. And yet we give our entire life to obtain everything that we've obtained. We put so much stock in it and esteem it so high that we accumulate and pile up and we attain all this stuff. And when you die, it's all gone. But the one thing that will carry you through eternity is the very thing that we make light of and neglect.
That's right.
It's a sad thought, but I just felt like there's some people sitting here that this is worthless. You offer them a buck, and they'll tell you to hell with you. Maybe not in them words. I'm plain. But in their actions, you'll see. You'll see. I say, if men made not light of Jesus Christ and salvation, what great working in our hearts of each one that hears tonight. Do you understand how much God could work in this little place if each and every heart esteemed him highly? Could you imagine what God could do in your life if he sat on the throne like he's supposed to? It'd be amazing at what God could work in our life. The reason, ladies and gentlemen, things are not getting done. Salvation, growth, spirit-filled lives, souls being reached, gospel going forth, the reason that ain't happening is because we take way too light the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's give you a few examples of some people that didn't take Jesus light. Percy Ray. Sammy Allen. Oliver Green. Lester Roloff. I mean, you see the pattern? These men didn't take light the Lord Jesus Christ and salvation. Look what great things God was able to do. Little children that was troubled and out on the streets and strung out on dope and all hope was lost. Thank God there was a man esteeming Jesus Christ highly down in Corpus Christi, Texas. And you can send your kid out there and hope for some help. Look what great things can happen when people take Jesus serious. How many preachers were just touched, lives impacted, lives changed? How many preachers was being able to go out and reach others because of Dr. Percy Ray taking God serious? Touched men. Percy Ray touched men's lives, affected men's lives like Sammy Allen. He had an effect. He was Sammy's hero. We talk about Sammy as if he's our hero. Percy Ray was his. Joe Parsons was his. If Jesus Christ and salvation were not taken lightly, men's hearts would melt underneath the power of the gospel. It would do that. What sorrow would there be in the discovery of our sin if Christ were not counted as nothing? Isn't it amazing that we can be nailed for sin, either through preaching or reading or just whatever, how God sends reprove or rebuke in our life? Isn't it amazing that we can be pinpointed about sin and go on as if everything's okay? I'm going to tell you why that happens. I tell you why people come to church week in and week out, year after year after year, and they're still the same old, because God is a joke. That's all. He's a joke. If God was real, my God, what the changes would be made. We could not carry on year after year like we do if he was real, if we esteemed him highly. If we put a high price tag on God, we couldn't sit here like we do. We couldn't look at the pastor like he's a blooming idiot or a Martian or like he's an idiot, like he, bless God, ain't gonna tell me. We couldn't do that year after year after year. We couldn't do that. Hey, listen, I'm not gonna get a bonus tonight by making you happy or pissing you off. I don't get nothing either way. All I gotta do is stand before God and give an account for what I said. Nobody's going to come knock on my door and go, man, we heard that great message. We need you to come be our friend. I'm not looking. That ain't going to happen. I don't get your bank account number. You're not going to hand me your credit card tonight. If you did, I wouldn't take it. So why do I do and say what I say? For the glory of God. So that maybe we can judge ourselves and see. And get this thing figured out, straightened out. Maybe we can take God a little more serious and come to know Jesus Christ and salvation. Next, I'll say, what are the things that you prefer over Christ in salvation? What is it that you prefer over him? Have you found a better friend than Jesus? Now listen, I said be honest. I'm not asking you to whip out that robe of self-righteousness. I'm asking you to be honest. Have you found a better friend than Jesus? If you wasn't chomping at the bit to spend time with your friend today, you've got better friends than Jesus. He's not that close of a friend to you. Have you found greater joy than His? You must. If you don't have His, then something has got you all satisfied. Can I remind you of what everything outside of Christ is? It's dung. Everything in your life outside of Jesus Christ ain't nothing but a pile of dung. That's what it amounts to.
That's right.
I count all things but dung. I count all things but loss. They were dung to me. That's what the man of God said. Men make so much ado over dung, don't we?
That's right.
We work our backside off for a pile of dung. Paul said that's what it amounts to. Christ or dung? Christ or dung? Which one you got? Do you have Christ? Or do you have a handful of dung? We make so much ado over this stuff while we make light of Jesus Christ and salvation. You say, how do you know that, preacher? I'm just asking you to judge yourself. Which one do you have? Jesus or worldly treasures? Jesus or worldly goods? Jesus or the world? Which one do you have? Which one has you? Jesus or the devil? You've seen what the remnant done. He ended up killing them. They followed after the wrong one. They went their own little merry way, did their own thing after they made light of the invitation, after they made light of the Lord Jesus Christ, after they made light of the workings of God, and they went after the remnant. And I'm telling you, friend, they ended up dead and in hell. He said, the reason for it is because you made light of it. That's what he said. You made light. The invitation's out there. You've heard come. You've heard Jesus died. You've heard that he shed his blood. You've heard that he went to the grave. You heard that he went to hell. You heard that he resurrected. You heard that he ascended. You heard that he's coming back. Until you have heard it enough. What'd that man say to y'all on the street? I've already... That's what I'm saying, son. Jesus means nothing to that person. That's the typical human being. He's probably a Baptist. What if you own the world? When I was a kid, the cartoon, the bad guy on the cartoons, he always wanted to rule the world. And Superman or Spider-Man or Rubber Man or Aquaman. I didn't give a flip about Wonder Woman. I didn't even believe in Wonder Woman. I believed in Batman. I thought if she's a Wonder Woman, bless God, she'd probably fix pancakes better than anybody I've ever seen, but I've never seen her cook a pancake. Watch her make up that bed. Whew. Look at that load of laundry. Wow. No, she's out there fighting. That's what I want my woman to do, be a fighter. I married a lady. I didn't marry a woman in the UFC. Hey man, I wanted somebody I could whoop. If I needed to, I needed somebody I could whoop Zane. I didn't want to have to straighten her out and her beat me down. I have a friend that plays in a little godless band, Mama and Steve, and well, about all of us know him. And I like him, old Kirk. I like old Kirk. He's all right, man. Just Kirk. You got to know him. I went to his house one time, and I don't want to get off on these stories. I went off to his house one time. We was going to meet, and I'm not even going to tell this story. I tell you, Kirk plays in a band. They play all kind of music. They'll play jazz. They'll play rock. They'll play country. Whatever. They'll just play anything. Boy, I tell you, if you was to show up, I've never showed up. He's invited me, and I've never went, but he likes to get on his phone and show me pictures of their band and, you know, stuff like that, and like I care. And,
Yes.
And sometimes I act like I do, and other times I go, Kirk, I couldn't hear less.
You can flip out that music.
But if you look at him, man, Kirk's got his little hat on. He's got his best duds on. He's got a pair of bowling shoes that he stole from the bowling alley. He took a pair of Bobos up there one day and just kept the bowling shoes and let them keep the Bobos. Man, he's all decked out. And when you look up there at him, it looks like somebody that Kirk ain't. Because if you see him 5 or 6 other days of the week, you're going to see a guy that's got jeans on that's dirty. And I mean they're dirty because he got them up out of the floor from where he wore them yesterday and the day before and the day before. And they was dirty them days too because he wore them 2 weeks ago. Just nasty. Body's nasty. Clothes are nasty. Car's nasty. His house is disgusting. It's just filthy. But if you look at him on the platform, ladies and gentlemen, this looks like a cool dude. I mean, he looks like he's got his stuff together. Well, what I'm saying is, every once in a while, you go to these plays and you take an old boy out of an alley somewhere, dig him out of his little cardboard box, and you can borrow some clothes and treat him like a king and throw the kingly garments on him. But after the show, he's going to go right back to being the same old bum that he was when you found him. And I say, you might can own this world. And you might can have all the authority therein. But when your race is over, you're going to go back to being just exactly what you are. A hell-bound sinner. I don't care what your clothes look like. I don't care how flashy you are. I don't care how many people you've impressed. I don't care how many excuses you've made. I don't care how many little self-righteous walls you've built up in your life. You're going to go right to that judgment bar of God, and you're going to be a filthy sinner, clothed in filthy rags. And I'm very convinced, Miss Stephanie, that if I was lost, and if I thought anything of Jesus Christ, that would tear me up. I said if I thought anything about Jesus Christ.
Right.
But it ain't going to tear us up because Jesus is next to nothing. That's why it don't bother us. That's why we can blow it off. That's why we can shake it off. That's why we can just continue on year in and year out. Because Jesus means very, very little. I'm not talking about what comes out of people's mouths. I'm talking about what comes out of their life. Mark chapter 8, verse 36 says this. Basically, what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? We're talking about your attainments, things that you highly value. What will you go through to have it? Then if you have it, what profit is it for you if you lose your own soul? I'm not judging and asking you to judge by American standards. I'm not asking you to judge on humanity standards. I'm asking you to judge by God's standards. What does God think? What does God say? It's amazing what we value. It's amazing that the basest lust of humanity will keep a man from Jesus Christ. At the end of the race, it's all vanity. If you attain and achieve all your filthy lust, when it's all said and done, it's all vanity. I'm about done. To make light of Christ and salvation is proof that you have no part in them. However, if you continue, then Christ will make light or set light by you. If you continue to make light of Jesus Christ, I'm making a statement, then one day Jesus Christ will set light by you. I said a while ago, he doesn't take pleasure in the death of the wicked. But it doesn't take pleasure. You better believe this. He doesn't take pleasure in you. You taking him life. If you'll think about it, ladies and gentlemen, think about how God must feel. I don't have a clue. But just in our imagination, try to think for a second. How must God feel? He took his only begotten Son, the perfect, sinless, holy Lamb of God, and nailed him to a cross. Drained him of his eternal blood and put him into hell for you to take him light. God is not happy about that. Now, I promise you, God is not pleased with that one bit. That's not his purpose. It wasn't his purpose to send his Son leaving heaven and taking on the form of a servant and being made sin for you and I. For you and I, us wicked, good-for-nothing humans, to make light of him. The holy God, who are we that we should make light of him? I'm going to promise you one thing. God will set light by us one day. You may not now, but I promise you, one of these days, you're going to long for a Savior. One of these days you will long. One of these days you're going to put him on that throne where he belongs. One of these days you're going to count all things but loss. One of these days, I promise you unto God, one of these days, everything in your life will be counted as dung. And you will look at the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and you'll beg him for mercy, and you'll beg him for mercy, and you'll beg him to save you. Oh, God, save me. And the book of Proverbs said, I laugh at your calamities. I mock when your fear comes. When you seek me earlier, you'll love find me.
That's right.
God will set light by us. You'll beg God to save you one of these days, and it will be the most important thing and the most valuable thing that you have ever experienced. And he will laugh at your calamities. He said, I called, but you would not answer. You know why you wouldn't answer? Because you took him light. I tell you one thing about George. If the President of the United States would call, we would answer. I would, preacher. I would. And I wouldn't give him a piece of my mind. I'd say, Mr. Biden, I'm praying for you. And I'd try my best while I could to tell him something about the Lord Jesus Christ dying for him. And I wished you'd be saved. Get out of the catechism. Get out from underneath the Pope. Get away from that mess, dear God, and get to Jesus. Quit depending on a man. Quit praying through a man. And go enter into thy closet and get a hold of God. It may not be the president for you. It could just be a government official. It could be the sheriff's office. You ever answer the phone to the sheriff's office? It was important to hear what they had to say, wasn't it? You took the call, didn't you? You'll take some of them calls, but he said, I called you, and you would not answer.
That's right.
I'll laugh at your calamities. I'm going to mock when your fear comes. Oh, yeah. It won't take, listen to me. He said, you'll seek me early, but you won't find me. It won't take you a split second at the end of that race to run to a Savior, but you will not find one. You won't find one. You're going to find the judge. You're going to find the righteous judge sitting on that throne. And I tell you, when you find him, he may be laughing. And you're going to need him. And you're going to want him. And you're going to be willing to give away everything and give up everything that you've ever, ever longed for just for him to be your Savior. And he's going to laugh. He said, because I have called and you refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, and it's coming, sinner friend. When distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me. But I will, ain't that how us jacklegs do? We get in trouble. We want a lawyer. I mean, man, we run wild till we get in trouble. Then we want a lawyer. We want somebody to stand between us and that judge. For they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. One of these days, all who make light of Christ will be just exactly like Esau. You will beg God for repentance one day. You will beg God for repentance one day. And you will not find it. You can seek it carefully with tears. But God's done. Though he sought it carefully with tears, he never found that repentance.
Right.
He done sold the birthright. Are you getting this? He sold the birthright. He sold that thing that should have meant more to him than anything in this world. He sold it for a bowl of beans, Brother Zach. I mean, that great possession, that great valuable possession. It's a picture and a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Esau come in from the woods hunting. And he said, give me something to eat. I'll give you my birthright. I'll give you Jesus. That means nothing to me. I just want to feed my belly. And he sold that thing which was most valuable for a bowl of beans.
That's right.
And Buddy Rowe, when he wanted that birthright back, it was too late. And he sought it carefully with tears, that repentance. And God wouldn't give it. God help us. The most important and most valuable thing we have is an opportunity with Jesus Christ. Let's don't take it light. God values the blood of his Son. Just stop for a second and imagine. I'm trying to quit. Imagine each one of you, how much must God value the blood of his Son? How much value do you think God put on the blood of his Son? I'm going to tell you something, buddy. It ain't sitting at the mercy seat at the footstool of God for nothing. That blood is sitting at the mercy seat at the throne of God Almighty in heaven as we speak. I promise you unto God, the Holy Ghost collected the blood of Calvary and carried it. God thinks a lot of the blood of his Son. And to see people like you and I trample underfoot the blood of his darling Son. No wonder he's angry at the wicked every day. No wonder God's angry at the wicked every day. No wonder the earth is moaning and a groaning. No wonder the lions and the tigers and the birds are crying. We've trampled underfoot the blood of the darling Son of God. We count it as absolutely nothing. And God counts it as one of the highest and greatest things in all of the world. Finally, God will not only deny you salvation, but everything in this world that you have so earnestly sought after, everything that you have so faithfully held at high esteem, everything that you have ever placed a value on outside of Jesus Christ, everything will be lost. Who's the sucker? Who's the loser? Who's the dummy now? You might have more money than me. You might have a nicer house than me. You might have more than I ever dreamed of. But I'll promise you, if it's not in the Lord Jesus Christ, everything that we've attained, everything that we've strived for, everything that we've worked for, everything that we've pressed for, it's all gone when we stand before him, friend. But watch right. This. Jesus Christ and salvation will carry on.
Amen.
It'll carry on. Your pride,
it'll be out the window. It will be gone. Covetousness, that we just... My covetousness now. Oh, that good one, prop it up right there, my good old covetousness. It'll be gone. The lust of the flesh, it'll be over. The lust of the eyes, it's long gone. The pride of life, goodbye. The only thing standing at that bar is Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that's going to make it through.
What you going to do with Jesus? You want to trade him off for a... I made that statement up there in Black Creek. You want to trade your racehorse off for a jackass?
That's on you. I just keep the racehorse.
That's right.
I wouldn't mind having a couple of good jackasses. It wouldn't bother me. But I sure don't want to make the wrong trade.
What you trading for Jesus? Don't say you ain't. If you ain't got him, don't say you ain't. If you ain't got him, you've traded for Jesus. You've made light of him. You've esteemed other things higher than him. You got more value on possessions. You got more value on your errands than you do
Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? I gotta go here. I mean, it's imperative that these kids get to school. It's imperative that they get to God. How much effort have we put into that one? It's imperative, Brother Zach, that we get to God. How much effort? Is that imperative? Things that we think that we've got to do, and when you stand before God, none of that will amount to nothing.
None of that will amount to anything. None of it. None
of your urgency. None of your dire needs in this world will ever stand at the judgment bar of God. It's going to all fail. It's going to all vanish away. It's going to all collapse
in the presence of a holy God. The only thing I stand is Jesus Christ and salvation. The blood of Jesus. Praise God. What do you need to be persuaded? What else do I need to say to persuade men? If your life ends and this is your sin, then it would be better off if you'd never been born. If you face God with taking Him too light, you'd been 10,000 times better off if you'd never been born. What cloak for this sin will you have at the judgment bar of God?
We've got excuses for our other sins. We've got excuses for our other sins. The reason we are like we are is because somebody done something to us. They said something to me down at that church. I tell you, I'm fed up with church. We've got excuses out the yin-yang, Miss Stephanie, for every sin under the sun. There is no excuse for taking light of God. There is no excuse. There is no cover-up. There is no cloak. There is no out. God will not accept any excuses. Because I tell you, buddy, He's valued His Son and the blood of His Son.
That's right.
And you ain't nothing but a filthy little snotty-nosed human being, and you're making light of that. God will never accept an excuse.
Just in case you have an excuse for all your other sins, and you don't, I can assure you, this one has no excuse. You can't build up no walls around taking God lightly. My prayer is that you'll take these thoughts and ponder them and deal with them properly so that God can deal with you properly. I've done my best to persuade you tonight with the truth, with what God's laid on my heart, and I hope that you allow God to persuade you even more. And if God don't, it's all lost. If God can't persuade you, it's all lost. Father, I thank you, Lord, for stirring in my heart and letting me see what thus saith the Lord. And God, for giving me answers, God, for some of these sinners. Lord, I look and I grieve and I ache. And God, I pray and I search the Scriptures. And they're educating me, no doubt. But Lord, when I seen that in the Scriptures, that they make light of the invitation. Oh my God, how many answers, how many questions was answered. Lord, I can honestly say we have taken you way, way too light. You just watch, Lord. You watch the mentality and the attitude of people as they leave this place. And God, it has exposed the lightheartedness toward the Lord Jesus Christ. God, no doubt, if I was a decent preacher or not, just to think about this sin were to rip our hearts out of us and bring us to tears, full of sorrow and anguish, dear God, because, God, we're all guilty. We're all guilty for taking you too light, way too often. Help us, dear God, to esteem you greater and more valuable than anything and everything in this world to us. Lord, we love you tonight. Thank you for hope and help. Thank you, dear God, for salvation. Thank you, dear God, for the gain that we have in Christ. Lord, we love you and thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.